Kim Pagano flow. Wake up, hit the dial, yeah, it's time to go. Start your day right. It's the Kim Pagano Show. She's the voice of Ventura, heart of the coast. With the good news only, yeah, she doing the most. Talking life, love, health, and hustle. Bringing in guests who flex that muscle. From authors to docs, she's bridging the gap. Kim got the real talk, never no cap. Tune in, tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. She got that laugh, that light that lift you up. Whether you're driving or sipping from your morning cup, she'll ask the hard cues, still keep it kind. Dropping gems every time that you press rewind. Community strong, she's built that lane. With heart and hustle running through her vein. It's not just a show, it's a vibe, a tribe. So tell your whole crew, yeah, it's time to subscribe. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, Brazil's favorite pastime arrives on American soil as the soccer's biggest tournament comes to the U.S. for the first time in 32 years. One of the Brazilian restaurants is bringing an authentic match day culture to the table. And of course, we are going to be talking. I'm so excited to, is it Vitor?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say it right. Vitor Melchior.
Okay.
And of course, Fogo de Chao is the area director. And welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, talk to us. First of all, I am such a foodie. So where is this restaurant? How do I get there?
Well, we do have, by the way, I'm originally from LA. I live in LA. So I'm a LA guy. But we do have almost 100 locations throughout US. So okay. And quite a few in Southern California. Yes.
Ah, okay. So whereabouts, like, where's the closest to Ventura or to Thousand Oaks?
We have Thousand Oaks, we have Woodland Hills, Pasadena, Beverly Hills, we have, you know, Santa Monica. So there's quite a few. So you
everywhere.
Probably have one, like, really close to your backyard, so.
Okay, I'm sure we do. I need to get there. So cool. Anyways, what are we going to find? Look at all this delicious food that is, like, so inviting. Talk to us.
So as you know, right? So Brazilians, they live and breathe the sport. Soccer is it's almost a religion for us, and we definitely want to bring and showcase that hospitality, that warmness in our restaurants as you come and join our watch parties in our restaurants. So you can bet that we're going to be surrounded with amazing hospitality, great food, and we have some nice additional things as well with some drinks and some additional activities as well.
Okay, what's a good drink that goes with the U.S. soccer right now. Talk to us.
Yeah,
Let's
so.
invite everybody in, and I know that will get us there. And of course, what makes Brazilian soccer culture feel so social and communal compared to how many Americans have traditionally watched the game?
That's great. That's great. Look, we don't like to watch a game by ourselves, right? So we definitely want to bring that, you know, warmness, bring people together. Even despite the score, you know, we definitely want to make it an event out of it and not just a game, right? So that's definitely one of our biggest thing. And then we come to one of our parties, you're gonna end up making friends with people that you never knew before, and that's the energy, the vibe that you'll see.
My kind of party, I have to tell you. My husband always goes, you know everybody by the end of the time. That's how I work. So I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah. And then, of course, hospitality. We're already well known for everything that we do every day. And it's sort of the same thing, you know, the togetherness and bringing people together and sharing. That's our concept. That's how we do it. But for the World Cup, we came up with this amazing drink, especially being summertime. So it's a refreshing drink. It's a twist. It's the World Caipe. It's a twist on our already national drink called Caipirinha. And, it takes, strawberries, passion fruit, you know, of course, the cachaça, which is our national spirit. And, the fun thing about it is the garnish is garnished with a soccer ball made out of.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I love it.
Dragon fruit. So the idea is that every time Brazil scores a goal and you're watching the party, you gotta eat one of those and scream out of your lungs, full goal, not just goal, full goal, you know?
Full goal, okay, I love it. Where can my viewers and fans, and of course all of our guests go to learn more about all these things? Because I'm excited. There is one right down the street from us, and so I definitely will be checking that out, so yeah.
Yeah, so definitely, go to fogo.com. Like I said, we have over 100, almost 100 locations throughout the U.S. Sure have one location that's going to be close to you. So go to fogo.com, find us there, come join the party, have a great time, amazing drinks, amazing hospitality, and let's celebrate. Let's celebrate World Cup. It's going
to
be amazing.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know stem cell injections can cost thousands of dollars with no guaranteed results? Here's a simple, affordable phototherapy-packed system that supports your body's natural renewal process. No injections, no chemicals, and no drugs. This light-based wellness technology has been studied for decades and shown to support energy, balance, recovery, and overall vitality naturally. For about $99, try a 30-day supply designed to help your body do what it does best, restore and renew itself. Many people share experiences of feeling more energetic, focused, and balanced after incorporating this technology into their wellness routine. If you'd like to learn more, text your name to 805-407-4302 for educational information. That's 805-407-4302. Or you can go to Lynn's website for more info, liveyounger.com/GreekLynn.
Are you looking for a reliable investment that stands the test of time? Gold and silver has always been a safe haven in times of uncertainty. At Gold Your Money, we help you protect your wealth by guiding you through the process of buying and storing precious metals. Whether you're new to investing or looking to diversify, our experts provide personalized solutions to fit your needs. Don't wait for inflation to erode your savings. Secure your future today with Gold Your Money. Visit goldyourmoney.com or call 805-323-GOLD. That's 805-323-4653 or goldyourmoney.com for more details.
Liat Cohen is a business and employment attorney serving the Los Angeles area for over 33 years. Liat focuses on providing personal representation to her clients and is concerned with their needs. Liat prides herself on solving legal problems and keeping her clients protected. As a business owner herself and a trial attorney, Liat understands the pitfalls facing businesses and works with her clients to avoid them. Forget the rest. Call the best. Liat Cohen provides free legal consultations. Call 818-579-9996. Check out the website at liotlaw.net.
When you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
And of course, welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, 10 years ago this month, Congress passed bipartisan reforms to the Toxic Substances Control Act, the nation's primary chemical safety law designed to help protect Americans from toxic chemicals found in everyday products, workplaces, and environment. And of course, joining us today is Sarah Vogel, and she is from Washington, D.C., and then Philip Williams, Klamath, California. Welcome, both of you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah, what is the Toxic Substances Control Act, and why does it matter, particularly for the folks here in Arizona?
Yeah, so the Toxic Substances Control Act, it's a mouthful, we call it TSCA. It's our bedrock chemical safety law. It's designed to protect the public, you and me, from toxic chemicals that can be found all around us, products in our homes, like laundry detergent, fabrics, electronics, in our workplaces, and in the broader environment that they can end up contaminating our air, our water, our soil, our wildlife. The law requires that the agency, EPA, evaluate chemicals for safety to ensure that they don't pose what's called an unreasonable risk. And if they do, to take action to protect the public. And, you know, there are facilities all across your state producing these chemicals. But I should say that most Americans are actually exposed to hundreds of these chemicals just in their everyday lives, and we can get more into that. But this law has helped give the agency more authority to start taking some of those dangerous chemicals off the market. But we are seeing now today here in Washington a real concerted effort by some members of Congress to undermine the law, and we're very concerned that would leave the public unprotected.
Wow, Sarah, that's really scary, isn't it? I mean, to know that every single day. I mean, you know, even if you do your best as a mom, you know, for your family, you're still being totally infected, or, you know, that's crazy. Philip, I know this is personal for you. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I'm an Army veteran and a member of the Yurok tribe. I'm a council member of the Yurok tribe. And, you know, our community has fought against dam removal for over 20 years, in which, you know, we had a victory there. But that was all meant to restore our salmon. That was all meant to improve our environment that has been impacted by 150 years of environmental damage, of logging practices, of gold mining, and, you know, overfishing. But one of the things I think that hits home for us mostly is our reservation basically has been one of those parts of the country that sometimes goes unregulated. And in fact, you know, we didn't really start getting into environmental regulations until the 70s. And so, you know, the logging that's been happening here, this environmental job happened for 100 years. And so it impacts our plants, our animals, you know, it gets into our fish, and we eat the fish, you know. And so this is very important to us here at the Yurok Tribe. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you. I could tell you're really passionate about it. I would be too. But what kind of chemicals are we talking about in everyday products, and who's at the greatest risk?
Yeah, so let me give an example of really a large class of chemicals called PFAS chemicals, sometimes referred to as the forever chemicals because they just don't break down in the environment. And they don't break down in our bodies. They're used for their water and grease proofing properties. So they're added to everything from non-stick cookware to stain resistant and water resistant carpeting and clothing and shoes. They've been used in firefighting foams. They have contaminated the air and the drinking water of millions of Americans across the country. They unfortunately have been linked to a number of cancers, as well as immune suppression, as well as some metabolic disorders like diabetes. We're most concerned by those who are going to be more vulnerable to the impacts of these chemicals. So that includes infants and children and pregnant women whose bodies are, you know, developing and changing. Communities that are living along the fence line of chemical production facilities, but also contamination sites where there are spills. And in the case of tribal land, where all of these things sometimes are coming together at the same time. And the Toxic Substances Control Act specifically mandates that EPA consider those vulnerabilities when they're assessing the safety of chemicals.
Yeah, and what? How does EPA review and regulate toxic chemicals?
Yeah, so when the law was updated 10 years ago, it gave the EPA new authority to review thousands of chemicals that were already on the market and really had no review. It mandates that they determine whether those chemicals present an unreasonable risk. And if they do, to take steps to control that risk. And that can include restrictions on certain uses. You know, we may need chemicals for critical uses, but we don't want them in our children's toys, for example. It also mandated that they look at the safety of new chemicals. There's hundreds of new chemicals that come onto our marketplace. Prior to changes in 2016, those chemicals came on to the market with very little review. So when they find a risk, they are to take actions that would protect the public, including for those most vulnerable. And that's another important new mandate that Congress gave EPA 10 years ago.
Right, right. And how could the proposed changes weaken current chemical safety protections?
Yes, the proposals that we've seen, you know, really go after the law in three ways that we find most unsettling. First is to set just a really almost impossible standard of safety to be met. When you raise up the level of you know what you have to meet to say something is risky, not many chemicals, right, will, or fewer chemicals will meet that threshold. So that we're seeing that combined with getting rid of this mandate to consider those who are going to be most at risk. When you do that again, you're not going to be protecting many people. And finally, rubber stamping new chemicals rather than spending the necessary time with the appropriate information to understand the safety of those chemicals before they come onto the market. Because once they're on the market, anybody can use them.
They're done. Yeah, there you go. Let me ask you, how can my audience learn more about this and where can they go?
Yeah, my organization has lots of resources for folks. You can visit edf.org/TSCA to learn about the law, to learn about chemicals, and find out ways to get involved.
There you go. All right. Sarah, thank you so much. Philip, thank you so much. Please share our show and download our podcast. And thank you for sharing this important message here on the Kim Pagano Show. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Have a great
day.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I hope that you had an incredible weekend. And, of course, my first guest has been on my show plenty of times. And, of course, he has been in the industry 50 years of investigating claims, consulting on complex disputes, and serving as an expert witness and training the next generation of claims professional. And of course, we're talking about Fred Fisher. And of course, he is, I've talked to him several times, and he really is thinking that the industry has been hijacked. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that. Fred, thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You must be a glutton for punishment to have me on again.
I love it. I love it. You know what? I learn something new every single time we talk, and I think it's so great that you've been in the industry for so long. First of all, let's just kind of start 50 years ago. What took you into this industry?
Well, when you graduate college with a social science field major, you can, chances are the only job you're going to get is selling life insurance.
There you go. And how did it do for you?
Well, I knew that was going to be a problem. So I was already enrolled in going to law school at night. And I did that intentionally simply because back in 1972 or so, everybody wanted to be a lawyer. Everybody grew up with Perry Mason. Oh, my God, I'm going to save the world. And as a result, you know, unless you graduated from a top law school and in the top 10% of your class, chances are it's going to be very difficult for you to get a job. Whereas right. If you went to law school at night, you could be working in the legal community during the day, and then those people had a 90% placement ratio because they usually were hired by the people they were working for if they passed the bar after graduation. Mm. So I thought, I like the odds of that much better. So that's what I did. I was already enrolled in law school, and my first job was life insurance, and I was like, okay, I can't stand that. And one thing led to another, and ultimately I got a job. This is my third year of law school, I guess, third or fourth. Yeah, it was third year of four years. And I got a job as a professional liability claim adjuster. This was on March 15th, 1975. So
wow,
a good reason.
Remember the day, the time, the month. I love that.
Oh, are you kidding? Beware the Ides of March is all I can tell you. There's a legitimate reason they say that. But and it was fascinating work. I had already spent a year or so working as a law clerk in a law firm, so I was familiar with the defense industry somewhat. And this was a whole different world. Number one, I had no idea this stuff was going on. Number two, we were dealing with a policy form to insure professionals that was written on what's called a claims-made basis. I had never heard of that either. So that was different than the typical insurance policy that businesses and individuals would buy, which was written on an occurrence basis, meaning the accident had to take place during the policy term, And that's something everybody's used to. And, you know, I got in my car accident yesterday. Thank God I just renewed my auto insurance, that sort of thing. But claims-made insurance is a whole new ballgame. And there was a legitimate reason for it. And it was complex even back then. It only had two conditions that, you know, the claim had to be first made against the insured during the policy term. And, you know, at the time you applied for the coverage, you weren't aware of any problem. You weren't expecting a lawsuit, in other words. And so that was it. And it got more complex from there. But in any event, it was fascinating work, and I loved it, and I was good at it. When I graduated law school, I had 11 job offers.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly from insurance defense firm. And I wasn't a dummy. I knew that why they wanted me, because I had contacts with insurance companies. I knew how to evaluate witnesses. I knew how to investigate cases. I knew how to preserve evidence, you know, blah, blah, negotiate settlements, that sort of thing. The only thing I wasn't doing was going to court. So that was an opportunity, but the company I was working for had just opened an office in Los Angeles, and they offered me the opportunity to be its manager. And with certain clients, we actually were acting as what's called a third-party administrator, where we were acting like the claim department of the insurance company, whereas not only were we investigating claims, but we had settlement authority up to a certain level, and we had the ability to use a hired defense counsel to defend the policyholder. You know, but of course, it had to be subject to an approved list, but, you know, that was the role. And so the bottom line was I took a job in L.A., and the difference was I could take the position as being the junior associate at some law firm and take orders, or I could take the position and give them.
Which one would I want? Okay. Let me ask you, bring us up to today. You definitely feel like the industry has been hijacked. Talk to us about that.
Well, number one, there's fewer insurance companies around because they've all been acquired by, bigger companies. We're having a terrible merger and acquisition situation going on. Beasley, for instance, a British-based company, was just acquired by Chubb. That's a big deal. And you've seen this market consolidation like crazy. And so there's fewer and fewer insurance companies, which means they've got a lot more and a lot more power, despite the fact they're heavily regulated, or at least supposedly. Number two, the model is changing. People have forgotten what insurance was all about. Insurance was about a bunch of people getting together that all have the same risks and hazards, pooling some money to put it into a pot. In the event some member of the group has a problem, has a loss, you know, whether it was a fire or whatever, there'd be money in the pool to help bring that person and put him back in the position he was in before the loss. That was the basic concept.
Okay.
That was the basic.
I never even knew that, so that's interesting right there. Okay.
And so it doesn't matter whether it's farmers or ship owners or what have you, you all have similar hazards you're facing. Why don't we put some money in a pool and take care of each other? And that's how it all started. And that was very rigidly regulated because, in essence, you're giving somebody money now in the hopes that if some particular event takes place, the money will be there to help you recover.
Correct. And nowadays, not so much, right?
Well, they changed the model. For one thing, the claim department has always, always, always been the profit center of the company. And it's perceived, unfortunately, by MBAs and accountants who don't know nothing about insurance these days, it's perceived as a cost center because that's where the money is spent. So they, like any other business, the accounting department, all they do is spending money and pay bills. And we have to control that. We have to set rules on what's going to be allowed. Nobody's going out for lunch every day and buying a $200 bottle of wine. Forget about it. Well, that's not what the claim department function is. The claim department function is basically to investigate a claim. That is statutory. It's required. Investigate a claim. Act in good faith. Look to see if the facts support coverage. If they do, you pay it. If you don't, you can fight it. That's oversimplification, but that's what it boils down to. And it's just as true when you're dealing with an environmental claim as it is dealing with a car accident. That's the basics. Was the insured at fault? How badly damaged is the injured party? And let's settle it and get on with it. And unfortunately, that's not happening anymore. First of all, a lot of insurance companies aren't even investigating claims. They're using artificial intelligence to assess damages, which may or may not be accurate. Number two, they're evaluating. They're telling their policyholder or a third party, you supply us with the information we need to assess, and we'll tell you whether we're going to pay you. That's not investigation. Claims are right. not being investigated properly. They're not being developed quickly. And as a result, I would imagine that many insurance companies are probably under-reserved, meaning insurance companies are supposed to post their reserve. How much do we think we're ultimately going to pay on this matter? And they have to post that. It's an accounting function for most, but still, the money's got to be there. And so they have to post a reserve. But a lot of claims today are immediately sent out to counsel. Counsel is not – it's not counsel's job to investigate and develop the claim. That used to be the claim department's job. We'll go out, we'll investigate, we'll get as much facts as we can. In my world as a claim adjuster, and I did it for 20 years before I became a wholesale insurance broker, but for 20 years, that's exactly what we did. We had the claim as fully factually developed as we could with evidence obtained, documents obtained, statements obtained. We did that in 90 days or less, which meant the reserves could be more accurately set. Now, were we able to necessarily meet with and interview the plaintiff? Sometimes. Sometimes not. Depended on the attorney. His attitude was, well, I'll let you take a statement, but then you're going to waive your right to take his deposition later if we have to file suit. And our attitude was, we're not waiving anything. So either you want to give us the opportunity to hear his side of the story and possibly settle the case, or we're going to have no choice but fight this or do it through discovery. Ultimately, insurance companies thought, well, it's way too expensive to do all the time. Why don't we just send everything to lawyers who charge more, but their job is not to develop the facts. Their job is to create a record, a legal record, which means that everything is going to be done through discovery. They're going to send out interrogatories. They're going to send out requests for admissions. The same is going to happen in reverse. They're going to take depositions. That all takes time. Number two, most courts now require everybody meet and confer and see if they can get their own schedule together. And if not, the court will do it, and they'll issue what's called a scheduling order. That could take 6 months to a year just to get a scheduling order on what discovery must take place and what's the deadline, so to speak.
Right.
Meanwhile, so there goes the 90 days figuring out what the claim is all about.
Right.
Which means you don't have information upon which to base your reserve, claim reserve, which means most insurance companies, I would guess, are probably under-reserved.
Wow. Okay. I mean, like, we're talking about the fires, the floods, just a simple accident. All those things have changed now, right? And now I know that you talk also about that the insurance actually have to evaluate their own claims, right?
Oh, yes. But you see, in all fairness, it's not all bad. I mean, why send somebody out that could only do two or three of these or four of these a day to inspect a house, to get on a ladder and look at the roof or whatever, when you can use a drone? Now,
right.
Is that always perfect? No. They might even be looking at the wrong house, or maybe the shade is wrong, and so they're misinterpreting what they see on the roof. So it's not perfect, but it is efficient. And if it's done right, it could be very accurate, and that can save some costs, no question about it. I do want to be fair about that. But you can't rely 100% on it. You're still obligated to investigate the claim. That's what the Fair Claim Statute says. National Association of Insurance Commissioners put out a Model Act for Fair Claim Practices. Most, if not all, states have adopted it in some form. And, it requires that you investigate the claim. And it requires that you have 45 days to determine and make a decision as to your coverage. Now, there are ways in which you can extend that, but you have to send out a letter saying we need more time and here's what we need to get. And so there's a lot of give and take on both sides. I don't want to paint a really bad picture. What ultimately, though, is that some accountants have decided, why should we go through all that mess? Why should we keep a fully staffed claim department and investigate the claims and develop the losses when we can just hire lawyers to help us draft policy language that will be legally enforceable, that we, where we can limit the type of claims we pay from what we used to pay. And now you got courts saying an insurance policy is not illusory if it only pays one type of claim. Just one.
Wow. That says a lot. So let me ask you, first of all, we haven't even talked about this, but you have a book, and of course it's called Claims Made Insurance, the policy that changed the industry. How do our listeners get that, and tell us kind of a little bit about that?
Well, number one, they can buy it on Amazon. They could also look it up under my name, Frederick, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K, J, period, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. Just put that in the search line on Amazon, and you'll see the book. It's also available. There's links to it on my website, which is at www.fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, C as in Charlie, G as in George, .com, FisherCG.com. There's a link to the book there as well. This book was written for the consumer. This book was written for people who, like you, provide a service of some kind to others, maybe for a fee or what have you. But you're providing a service. You're putting something out there on the internet. You are a podcaster. And those type of policies, unlike your car insurance, unlike your homeowner insurance, unlike your general liability insurance, those are written out on an occurrence basis, meaning the accident has to take place during the policy term. The problem with professionals, however, is that when they commit an error, it's not like running a red light where you hurt somebody immediately. It's not like, you know, somebody slips and falls in your driveway and somebody is hurt immediately. They may not know how badly, but at least they were hurt. That has to take place during the policy term. But with professionals, when an architect does their engineering calculations and they get the load factor wrong on a pedestrian bridge over a major highway or over, you know, a runway or something, or under a runway, you know, you're not going to know about it, about that mistake until something really bad happens. And that could take a year, that could take a month, it could take 20 years.
Wow.
And then somebody is hurt, and then the lawsuits fly. And the problem with that is, how do you, from an actuarial standpoint, actuaries try and predict the future based on what's happened in the past. They look at past claims. They try and say, okay, you know, we can see what's going on here. If we're going to write this kind of insurance, you know, they have all these really complicated formulas to apply, and they come up hopefully with a pricing thing that's going to work. And so they're constantly guessing. But when you have, how do you deal with something where you're trying to insure an architect and you don't know what the claims are going to be because they could be out there for a long time? So
right.
That's why the concept of writing a policy that is triggered not by when you made the mistake and hurt somebody, it's when somebody actually is hurt and decides to make a claim against you. And the same thing is true of lawyers. If they draft your will and your trust, nobody's going to know that they made an error that could have serious consequences until you're dead.
Right.
And that could be tomorrow. That could be in an hour. That could be in 30 years. And in addition, the professional might have to keep what happened. And the professional, of course, isn't a problem. They're going to have to keep a copy of all their occurrence-based insurance policies and all their files forever.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Because the files are the evidence. So that's how the concept of claims made came along, is that what's triggering the policy is when somebody over whom you have no control decides to make a claim against you.
Got it. I remember one of the things that, Fred, one of the things that you always say, the gotchas that get you.
The gotchas that'll get you. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
We filed for trademark on that, and we've got preliminary approval, but we haven't gotten the final green light yet. But the gotchas that'll get you is very clever policy language, very subtle policy language that is put in these policies, giving the insurance company the right to deny claims. and getting away with it.
Wow, wow, wow.
And it's being done intentionally. I've got several articles written by lawyers saying just that. And one of my one of the most recent ones, I don't know if I brought it up in the last time we chatted, but some of the recent one is the Pharmacia case. Are you familiar with that?
No.
No? Pharmacia Corp is a huge, you know, pharmaceutical company. And typical of somebody that size, they don't buy liability insurance or product liability insurance that starts out what we call first dollar. They probably have a deductible. It's called a self-insured retention, but it's like a deductible, which means their deductible probably is $5 to $10 million, and it could be higher. Then they buy what's called excess insurance, and they can buy what's called a tower of excess insurance into the stratosphere, hundreds of millions of dollars. But you don't get one insurance company to do that. You have, because insurance companies are going to write excess insurance in 10, 20, and maybe a few at $30 million layers. So if you want to get a half a billion dollars worth of coverage or $1 billion worth of coverage in excess, you know, you're going to have a lot of insurance companies stacked on top of each other. And that's called a tower. In addition, you cannot commit to any kind of settlement that involves insurance company money without getting their prior approval. So that means that, number one, if you get involved in litigation, you better put them all on notice to let them know this is going on, and then they can decide how closely they want to monitor it. But one thing's for sure, if you want to enter into a $200 million settlement, you better have their prior approval, because otherwise they're not going to pay you. They're not going to put the money on the table to settle the case. And that's what happened here. But here's what happened. They entered into a $207 million settlement. They did get prior approval from all the insurance companies who were going to have to put that money on the table. There's $160 million on the table. The carrier that had the next layer of excess was Twin City Fire. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of Hartford, so we're not even talking some fly-by-night company here. We're talking a really well-branded, well-recognized name, Hartford Insurance Group. They started at the $160 million level. Doesn't matter how high they went. But the point is, there was $160 million on the table. It's now your turn, Twin City. Put your money there. And they said, wait a minute. We've got a sentence in our policy, not an endorsement, mind you. It was in the policy form itself, and it had two conditions. The first condition was, all underlying insurance companies had to have exhausted their limits. I don't have a problem with that. There has to be $160 million on the table before our policy kicks in. Well, guess what? The money was there. So the underlying insurance companies had tendered their limits. It was the second half of the sentence that just still takes my breath away. Not only did all underlying insurers have to have exhausted their limits, all underlying insurers, not the policyholder, mind you, the insurance companies, had to have admitted liability.
And so it was already like a fixed case, basically, right? Yep.
Well, they were settling it. Didn't matter. Yeah. And when you settle a case, nobody admits liability. How many times have we heard, we're paying out $1 billion to settle this, we just want to move on and put this behind us, but we didn't do anything wrong, we're not admitting liability. Nobody admits liability in a settlement. As a matter of fact, the insurance policies themselves caution the insured not to admit liability without prior approval. But this doesn't apply to the insured, the policyholder. This condition applied to the insurance companies. Have you ever heard of an insurance company having to admit liability?
No, that's just insane. Exactly. Fred, this is why I keep having you back, because I love talking to you. I love learning from you. How do my listeners find you and find your website?
Well, the website is www.fishercg.com, fisherconsultinggroup.com, so it's FisherCG. There are a lot of articles there you can download. You can also reach me through there. My email address is there. You can even set up a calendar app if you want to chat. I do review policies for professionals, and I would urge you to read your policies. And one other thing I would urge, never, 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 never buy on price. Mm-hmm. We're being brainwashed to thinking that all the policies are the same and you'll save money with us. Well, number one, all policies are not the same. That is a lie. And but they never say that. Your consumer is led to believe that, but it's not true. When you buy on mm-hmm. price, you're giving something up.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Fred. Have a really great rest of your day. Please share our show with everyone and download our podcast. And I look forward to having you back.
Oh, Kim, anytime. Thank you so much. My best wishes to you. And like I said, for anybody out there having trouble sleeping, believe me, there's plenty of articles on our website. You can read them. Knock it right out.
I love it. Thank you so much, Fred. Take care. Have a great day.
Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. How are you doing?
So excellent. Thank you very much.
I like that. I like that. Starting our day in a positive way here. And of we have Jim Wolfenbarger. And did I say that right? Is that correct?
You said it perfectly. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. And you are actually a retired 7th Chief of Colorado State Patrol. Thank you for your service. And of course, you spearheaded state-level preparedness and large-scale emergency communications. And you're also the Vice President of Real-Time Intelligence at Motorola Solutions. Welcome, and I'm excited to talk with you. And, of course, learning a little bit about drones, right? I mean, and the drone threats to stadiums and how technology is being used to keep fans and residents safe. Talk to us. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Kim. Yeah, again, good morning and thanks. No, what a great opportunity to be able to talk to you and your audience and really have a conversation around, you know, upcoming special events and certainly the area around both drone detection and drone as a first responder, which are some really cool technologies that are out there that provide tools to our public safety agencies to really help fill out those operational plans and help keep people safe.
I love it. I love it. And so let me ask you a question. When soccer fans or any, you know, big, huge events come to our city, they have an expectation of safety, correct? And how do we do that? Is it all through these drones now?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, you know, certainly no, it's not all through the drones. But what I can say is that, you know, at Motorola Solutions, you know, we have for decades been shoulder to shoulder partners with state, local, and federal. And really today's conversations are more rooted around state and local, right? Our counties, our cities, as they prepare for, you know, any special event, which is nothing uncommon for nearly any agency of any size, right? Whether it's planning for a county fair at an annual basis, it might be a high school football game, or it may be as big as something like, you know, these large soccer tournaments that are going to be all over the country this summer. Certainly within the coming weeks, we have the NFL as they prepare for the Super Bowl and the playoffs. There's just any number of special events that require traditional planning that really involves involves things like radio communications, ensuring that, you know, you've got the devices, you've got the systems for mission critical communications. Motorola certainly provides that. Motorola is also a leading provider of 911 call handling software. So another elemental aspect of kind of what I'll call table stakes for these operational plans. Mm-hmm. So all of that still is an essential element of ensuring interoperability, you know, a concept of operations, ensuring that the technical foundation is there. But certainly we are seeing emerging threats as we get into this 21st century, you know, with the misuse of drones. And there's some really interesting technology that helped to provide some fascinating answers for that.
Okay, share, please. I'm interested.
Oh, you bet.
Well, so listeners will be too.
That's excellent. So all of us have enjoyed drones. I have. I mean, I love, they're fun to fly. They're fun to fly with our kids. You know, and there's a lot of very legitimate commercial purposes for drones, whether it's, you know, you might be looking for a house and have seen how drone really adds an interesting perspective to understanding a property. You know, certainly things like drones for crane inspections, think structural inspections of bridges, mines. There's some great use cases that are out there. But, you know, as all of us have seen over recent years, where drones could also be used in a way that is more sinister. We've seen areas of conflict around the world And, you know, those tools need to be necessary to ensure that we can provide for airspace security and airspace intelligence for those agencies that are planning to protect, whether it's critical infrastructure or even things like a stadium maybe a jail or a prison, to protect that airspace. So for things like special events, Kim, you oftentimes will get from the federal government an opportunity to create restricted airspace if that event is large enough. As temporary restrictions of airspace over that special event, there are many places that have permanent restrictions, like airports and maybe prisons, where there are permanent restrictions of airspace over those particular facilities. Now, many of the flights, and you see a number that the NFL has used of over 2,000 flights in recent years over the stadiums during the pro football games. Many of those, I'll tell you, are accidental, unintentional violations of that airspace. Now, this new technology that Motorola has partnered with a company called SkySafe, that is a U.S. company based out of San Diego, that provides fascinating RF technology that can provide for that airspace awareness, not only to detect the vast majority of drones and UAVs that are over those restricted airspaces, but maybe most importantly, Kim, to be able to identify precisely where that operator is located so that they can dispatch local mm-hmm. units to go have a conversation with them they may not even know, or to certainly begin the investigation to ensure that there's nothing nefarious afoot.
Wow. So basically, really what you're saying is drones are increasingly being used for emergency responses now, right? As well as, you know, enjoyment, but also protection. And also, so are drones responding to 911 calls as well?
That's a great call out. So you're right. So there's that technology that does drone detection. And there's the other side of the coin, mm-hmm. which is this drone as a first responder, DFR. Now, you may not be old enough.
Wow.
Some in your audience may be that remember the Jetsons. I don't know if you do or not. But whenever
I do.
I'm...
I love when, that. And we're almost there, right? Now,
I know.
Isn't that funny?
Whenever I'm in an agency.
Whenever
I'm in an agency that are using drone as a first responder, I feel like I'm in the Jetsons. It's so cool to watch how
wow.
we're able to provide a resource to get eyes on the scene of a critical event. Say it's something like a train derailment, or it's a bank robbery with
right.
weapons, armed robbery. Any major event, to be able to put eyes on the scene quickly is important. Now, we have in turn partnered with another great U.S. company named Brink, B-R-I-N-C, out of Seattle, Washington, to U.S.-based and U.S.-manufactured drones that provide this capability to public safety agency through Motorola, where we're able to not only provide eyes on the scene very quickly, but what one of the areas, Kim, I think is most fascinating about these drone as a first responder is the ability to use them to drop critical life-saving tools. For example, say somebody's out on a lake, they get into a boat event, they fall out of the boat, maybe they come water skiing, they swim out too far, they're in trouble. We can
yeah.
send a drone to them to drop a life preserver that's inflatable when it hits the water, that allows them an opportunity
no
to stay adrift
way. Wow.
long enough to get personnel to them. I love that. Now, another example
oh my
might
gosh,
be somebody.
That's amazing.
I love it. Another example might be somebody having a heart attack or cardiac event on a remote hike, but they have cellular phone coverage. They dial 911 and that drone can fly directly to that phone and maybe drop an electronic defibrillator to save a loved one or a partner that maybe is experiencing a cardiac event, or they're having an allergic reaction, get them that EpiPen. Maybe even you come across somebody that unfortunately has overdosed on drugs. That ability to fly
right.
out Narcan or other things that could be life-saving measures to save a life. I just think it's the future, and that thoughtful integration through partnerships like Motorola and Brink that really help breathe life into that, literally and metaphorically.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I love that. How can my listeners find out more about this? And of course, what a huge improvement that we've made.
Yeah, I love it. And so I would direct everybody to MotorolaSolutions.com. Once they're in our website, mm-hmm. they can look around, see some of the great technology that their public safety agencies and enterprise are using. And also, I would encourage them to search under large event security once inside of that website to be able to avail themselves of not only these tools, but a lot of grant opportunities that are out there for local government to apply for to help them get some of these critical technology tools.
I love it. And not only that, you know what? I mean, it's scary being in huge crowds now and to know that there is some amazing technology that's being used and specialized in these, you know, events is really good. So I love this. Jim, thank you so much for sharing all this. And again, thank you for what you're doing and your service and your past service. And again, please share our show with everyone and download our podcast after it airs on radio. Then it goes onto our podcast.
That's excellent. Kim, hey, thank you very much for the time. We're honored at Motorola to be a part of your broadcast here. Excited to get the word out there. And thank you very much for your time today.
You got it. All right. Take care of yourself. And thanks again. We look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. If you are thinking positive during negative times, you've already won. And I hope that you are starting your day in a positive way. Again, follow us on social. If you are interested in joining our membership, it's a community that we have started for our business mixers. You can text us at 805-419-0008, or you can also leave us a message saying, I want to know more about our mixers. Download our podcast. And if you are interested in being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, text us guest. All right. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Are you looking for a reliable investment that stands the test of time? Gold and silver has always been a safe haven in times of uncertainty. At Gold Your Money, we help you protect your wealth by guiding you through the process of buying and storing precious metals. Whether you're new to investing or looking to diversify, our experts provide personalized solutions to fit your needs. Don't wait for inflation to erode your savings. Secure your future today with Gold Your Money. Visit goldyourmoney.com or call 805-323-GOLD. That's 805-323-4653 or goldyourmoney.com for more details.
Liat Cohen is a business and employment attorney serving the Los Angeles area for over 33 years. Liat focuses on providing personal representation to her clients and is concerned with their needs. Liat prides herself on solving legal problems and keeping her clients protected. As a business owner herself and a trial attorney, Liat understands the pitfalls facing businesses and works with her clients to avoid them. Forget the rest. Call the best. Liat Cohen provides free legal consultations. Call 818-579-9996. Check out the website at liatlaw.net.
When you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with a purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-2000. 7177. That's 805-620-7177.